2007, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 643. Senator Vakian, why don't you start, and then Mr. Siebert will go over some technical issues.
Sure. To remind the committee, 643 was a companion bill at the beginning of session with another that created one FTE in order to monitor ballast water with ships coming from other jurisdictions that were dumping water and therefore dumping invasive species into our waterways, which made us quite unique in that regard along the West Coast, since every other jurisdiction has got folks and rules and laws that regulate the discharge of ballast water. Well, this committee, when it passed the DEQ budget, included that FTE. This is the companion bill that sets up the task force, or continues an effort already that is underway, with a task force to both study and give recommendations on how to best control the ballast water. It's a necessary piece to the FTE that we did. There's not a fiscal on it, and so we need to pass this in order to implement the FTE we already passed. And I'll let you go ahead, Paul, and talk about the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we received some notification this morning that there were some problems with Senate Bill 432 as enrolled, and this dealings with shipbreaking and prohibitions about shipbreaking in Oregon. So there's some technical amendments that need to be made to Senate Bill 432, and because the relating to clause, Senate Bill 643 is a good vehicle, so you have in at your places the dash one amendments for 643. You can read through them, but you can see that they're technical in definitions. They describe and define what a floating dry dock is. They also specify that shipbreaking is prohibited on the ocean shore. In the original version of the bill, I guess it was unclear in the waters of the state if ocean shores were included, and that's probably an important place to include for shipbreaking, so that's included in the bill. And then just a clarification that the bill does not relieve a person from compliance with other state or local laws that apply to shipbreaking, shipwrecks, or ship repair, including but not limited to laws relating to hazardous materials, fouling communities, or fouling organisms.
And since my name is sitting on the bill it's going into, I wanted the committee to know that the amendments are good and necessary amendments. This is the best vehicle for them, so we should include them here.
And Paul, what was the bill number again?
The original bill number is Senate Bill 432. You can see it on line 5 of the amendments.
And my understanding is that bill passed overwhelmingly in both chambers, and the governor signed the bill. He just has indicated that there are some, well, lack of clarity in some of the issues in the bill. And would hope that before the session was over that we would clear up some of that lack of clarity.
And Mr. Chair, member of the committee, there's no one signed up to testify on the bill.
I will close the public hearing. Is there a motion to on the dash one amendments to 643?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 643.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to the dash one amendments? Seeing no objections, motion passes. Is there a motion to recommend to the full committee with a due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I recommend Senate Bill 643 as amended with the dash ones to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing no objection, motion passes. I will carry to the full. Senator Vakian, will you carry to the Senate? He's looking over at ID. Okay. Representative Klein, will you carry to the House?
Aren't you honored?
Yes, I'm an invasive species myself.
We should give you some. We should give you something with some scientific names. So
I had one all locked up for some sort of beetle, ash borer beetle last time. Don't ask me any questions. It was my first bill, and no one pays me.
I'm not sure. I'm right outside the door.
Okay, we'll go to 450.
Okay. Oh, you can carry this one.
Okay.
Yeah, he wants me to hear at 10:32 so he can ask all
that. It's a fair trade.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get all those winners.
Just for sake of clarification, I did open a work session on that previous bill, and I closed that work session. And I will open a 450, a public hearing on 450. Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chairman, as the committee, the bill deals with Rangeland Fire Protection Associations. It gives the state forester authority to enter into cooperative agreements or contracts with Rangeland Protection Associations to protect rangeland from fire. Also allows them to work with these associations on training, acquisition of firefighting equipment, provision of liability insurance. The bill in its original form had a general fund appropriation. You have in the packet in front of your place an amendment that would remove the appropriation. The fiscal impact will be dealt with in the agency's budget bill, which is still before the subcommittee. So we have an opportunity to amend that. So they will include the fiscal impact for the bill. My understanding of the fiscal impact is it would be $30,000 general fund and $30,000 of federal funds. And I think if there are any other questions, the agency is certainly here to answer. I can check if anyone signed up.
Request for $60,000.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what clarification.
Clarification. Joe, on the background of the measure summary, it says that the measure includes a request for $60,000 from the general fund. So has that been amended?
Madam Chair, Representative Dingfelder, the general fund appropriation in the bill will be removed by the amendments.
Entirely?
Yep.
Okay.
And there will be general fund included in a policy option package in the department's budget. So you'll see a policy option package for this program.
And that'll be $30,000 instead of
$60,000? $30,000 general fund, $30,000 federal funds, total of $60,000.
Close the public hearing. I'll open a work session. We need to move the amendment first to 450.
I'll move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 450.
Okay. Is there any discussion of the amendments? Any discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, motion passes. Is there a motion to recommend to the full committee with a due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 450 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
As amended.
As amended.
Any discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing no objections, motion passes. Representative Berard, will you carry to the full and to the House?
I will.
Senator Nelson, will you carry to the Senate? And the rangelands in my district have little white balls.
Maybe maybe Senator Ferriola would like to carry it.
He may be one of them. If Senator Ferrioli wants to carry it.
He had a letter out on it.
Yeah, okay. If Senator Ferrioli wants to carry it, I'll defer to you. We'll check with him and let LFO know.
That'd be great. Mr. Chairman, just a little bit of housekeeping. I'd also note at your place you have an agenda for the rest of this week. And next week, just know it's likely to change probably at any time.
Yeah. So they're going to fit in those 25 bills I've been requesting for 3 weeks.
Come in 3 days.
I've only got three.
Senate Bill 1032. We will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1032. Mr. Rocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, you have before 1032 before you and a draft staff measure summary that explains the background of the bill. Basically, this bill, it's a Ways and Means bill that was introduced by the Joint Committee. Basically, it modifies the current fee ratification process to exempt agencies from that process when the fees were anticipated in the legislatively adopted budget for the agency. It was assigned to a Natural Resources Committee because you've dealt with three of these fee ratification bills this session, one for Department of Ag, one for Environmental Quality, and one for Water Resources. In 1995, the legislature adopted Senate Bill 333, which established this fee ratification process for agencies that adopt new fees or fee increases. And as you know, that process if the agency doesn't come back after in the next biennium to get those fees ratified, then they are rescinded. What this has caused is, we believe, is an unnecessary complication to the budgeting system, where agencies have to include two budget packages in their budgets for basically for fees that have been previously approved by the legislature. So they have to, because they cannot count on that revenue in the next biennium, they have to put in a package that removes all the revenue and then another package that restores it, even though those fees have been implicitly approved by the previous legislature. What this bill would do would be for agencies that come forward with a package in their budget that say, we are going to raise the fee to X and it will generate this much revenue, and the legislature approves that in a policy option package, then they do not have to come back to get those fees ratified again, since the legislature has already implicitly approved those fee increases. It would still apply to any agency that did not talk to the legislature about fee increases that are administratively approved, and it would not and it would not apply to an agency who had come forward and said, we're going to raise the fee to X, and in fact they actually raised it to Y. They would still have to come forward for that ratification. So that's a simple explanation of what this bill would do.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Walker? Do we have close the public hearing, open work session. There are no amendments to this bill. Is there a motion to recommend to the full committee?
Mr. Chair, I recommend Senate Bill 1032 to the full Ways and Means with a two-pass recommendation.
It's been moved to recommend Senate Bill 1032 to the full committee with a two-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Klein.
So we talk about new increased fees that are anticipated in the legislative measure process for an agency, revenues from which are included explicitly or implicitly. So it would be an implicit assumption.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, that would be in the case where the fees are actually set through the administrative rule process. So the legislature really doesn't set them. But when the Ways and Means Committee approves the budget that includes a policy option package that includes the revenue from fee increases that the agency has described that they will increase through the administrative rule process, that's what we are saying is an implicitly approving of the fee increases. Because basically, you have no authority to approve the fee unless it's set in statute. And these are fees not set in statute, but they're authorized by the agency to set. And they go through a public process to set those fees. And by our feeling is by approving the revenue that those fees would increase, you're basically saying yes to the agency, go ahead and increase these fees.
Yes.
And we would still be having to approve the revenue even under this bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, yes.
Expenditure limitation on their fees is where we get our power. If we don't like it, if not administratively, we don't give the expenditure.
Correct, absolutely correct.
Okay, all right.
And, Mr. Chair, just to add, we have discussed this with the executive branch, and their budget people are supportive of this concept because of its simplification of the budget process.
Just a clarification, Mr. Rocco. We've seen some of these in these committees, in this committee. Would we see a lot of these? I remember a lot of these, like in the Education Committee and the General Government Committee, when we're doing dozens of licensing agencies that are adjusting fees that they have the authority on, and we have to come in and ratify the fee increases that they have.
Mr. Chair, again, this is designed to not have you subsequently ratify a fee that the previous legislature has already approved.
I'm just trying to say that if you serve on general government or you serve on education, these are taking up a lot of time that's kind of unnecessary since you're going to actually act on their budget anyway.
That's correct.
So, any additional discussion?
I just had another quick question here on the go online.
Okay. Senator Nelson, then Representative. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Senate, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Well, just a thing on line 15 of page 1, the copying charge for public records, is that fee does not include that? I mean, some folks that have just had an issue that was raised to me.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. And I think if you look down in lines 18 and 19, it's just a clarification of the copying charges that normally when legislative council goes through a section of law that they're amending, they look at other things that should be cleaned up, and I think this is just a technical cleanup.
I guess the issue is that some people think they get a lot of public records, and so they will be charged from now, or
I think, Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, I think this excludes copying charges for public records as a calling it a fee that would be subject to this ratification process. That's all.
Okay. Well, there was some just a question. Do you want to bring anybody up to? Because I'm just sort of the messenger. And you're going to shoot me. Okay. Are we clear on this?
What's this? Well, above it, it says fee does not include. And so.
Right, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
So is it, I mean, I'm just.
Current law excludes from the definition of fee the items in lines 18 and 19 on the first page, which includes copying charges. So current law already excludes those charges from the definition of fee. All LC did was call that out as a separate item for whatever mysterious drafting protocol they have there. But this bill doesn't change the status of those charges in any way.
And the portion they're corrected would have still done the same thing, just with different language. That's right below that.
Okay.
So. Okay. Any additional discussion? We do have a motion on the. Yes, no, Representative
Garrard.
Mr. Chair, I can understand the benefits of the streamlining that this bill will bring forth. However, I always feel like from one legislative session to another, it's wherever we can on fees, I think obligations are something that should be reevaluated after a two-year period, so I will be voting no on the bill.
Any additional discussion? Yes.
One thing I just can't really recall, and if it's already being done, then tell me, but if not, it might be nice in our budget presentations, the way, you know, when we have our binders broken up, to have one little chunk then that says assumed fees based on, you know, something that basically delineates in when we're having the budget discussions. That way we know what the assumed ones are, so it's very explicit, or implicit, I think, as we talked about. That way you know consciously whether you're wanting to change expenditure limitation authority or not. So it's not just one little bullet on a slideshow that says, oh, by the way, these are the fees that we are expecting to be changed, but it's actually a little section.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, there's a couple of ways to approach that. In each budget binder, there is a revenue section that details all of the anticipated revenues from all sources, including fees. And then under statute, there is also a fee report that the executive branch generates that right now is, I would have to say, less than useful because it's just a huge compilation of all fees. And one of the things we are talking with the executive branch about is looking at trying to modify that fee report in some fashion to make it more useful. So that's a good approach that you've mentioned.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
One more quick comment. I remember in the DEQ budget,
yeah,
we had 3 pages of fee increases in the bill. So I think what Representative Clem is pointing out is a very valid point.
I'm sure there'll be a discussion in the interim about budget presentations before the legislature, and that we could note this for the record as a concern. Any additional discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Representative Garrard? Motion passes. this is interesting. Can't give it to the co-chair. Nobody. I can't give it to Gerard.
That's why you voted no. You just don't want him to carry it, Bill.
Okay. Senator Nelson will do it in full. And on the Senate
I'll
floor. And Representative Dingfelter.
You're so good at it.
So he's trying to get into it. That ends.
Yes, you won't have to do that.
Pass that. We'll go to the poll. One note to the committee. We have some more bills coming up. We need to. The House is going to be on the floor every day at 9 o'clock. We know there might be a need for some of these for some discussion. So as soon as everybody can get here at 8:30, the better off we are. The President has already notified us that sine die is imminent, and so that we are under minimum notice requirements. You're under 24 hours, so we will be under 24 hour because we go by whoever's the longest. I think the House is now under 24-hour notice. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, I believe they're under minimum notice.
Minimum notice, okay.
It's so, like post and go, I think it's called.
So if you see this schedule that says we only have something scheduled Monday, know that on any of these days we could have something scheduled, and I will try to get you as much notice as possible. But that might mean I'm notified 2 hours before and trying to tell you an hour before.
Just try notifying Senator Devlin at 6:30 in the morning.
You can notify me easier at 2:30 in the morning, because that's usually.
Just that? Count on being here. And then you may find yourselves with an extra half an hour to an hour.
Okay. But with that, we're adjourned.
We're trying to move to policy bills.